A year ago today, health officials shut down the Brentwood Postal Facility here in Washington, D.C. One worker had died of inhalation anthrax, and a second was mortally ill. 2,000 postal workers had to face the fact they had been working in that building for more than a week after anthrax spores had spilled there from the infamous letters that were mailed to Capitol Hill. Today, the postal workers are still struggling with their anger and fear, NPR's Richard Harris reports.
Last Tuesday evening, gray clouds hung behind the Brentwood Postal Facility, a massive brick building now sealed up and cordoned off with yellow police tape. Dina Briscoe, a 42-year-old postal worker with dimples and a splash of red in her hair, walks anxiously up to a group of drummers who have set up in a bus stop. They are here at Dina's request as part of a prayer vigil she has struggled to organize between her all-night postal shift and her responsibilities at home.
I'm like walking around off adrenaline right now. I didn't sleep today when I got home. I couldn't. Even if I lay down, I wouldn't have been able to sleep.
If all goes well, this will be an evening to remember the dead and to support the living, to help her colleagues through a month of painful anniversaries. She scans the nearly empty sidewalk a little nervously, wondering whether her co-workers got the flyers she printed, whether impending rain or a sniper on the loose will keep them away. Dina has been doing what she can to help her colleagues in the year since the anthrax attack.
When I came back to work and saw my co-workers, I could see a lot of the pain and the shock. And you could see they were wearing their feelings on their sleeves, and it was hard for me to look at it. And the more I talked to people, the more I saw that people wanted to help each other.
So she and a few colleagues started a group, which they call Brentwood Exposed. In addition to organizing this vigil, they have been a constant presence for their colleagues, giving them both information and emotional support at weekly meetings.
Good morning, everyone. I thank everyone for coming.
2 weeks earlier, dozens of postal workers coming off the night shift had gathered at a D.C. library rather than heading off to the comfort of their beds.
We're in preparation for our anniversary.
They embrace old colleagues and pull their chairs into a circle. Dina settles in, too, to listen as her co-workers unburden themselves. James Harper, who worked side by side with one of the men who died, says Brentwood was family, and now they've been scattered to many other postal facilities around the region.
It's like the parent died and they separated the children.
Harper, broad-shouldered and intense, leans forward in his chair. He says they work in other people's domains now, like children sent to live with aunts and uncles. People nod in agreement.
Our cousins welcome us because we're all one big family, but we're crowding them. You know, it's a small house now. You know, tempers flare.
And even though they're now working in Maryland, Virginia, and other parts of D.C., they still fear what may lurk in the thousands of letters they handle every day. The anthrax culprit has not been caught. There's no quick technological fix to make the workers safer. So clerks like Christine Armstrong are still on edge.
It's frightening because the machines that we work on, they have like rubber balls on them. And some of that stuff peel off as the mail go through. And like I found someone and it might, I panic. Because I said, oh my God, anthrax. Oh, you know, is it on my hand? What's wrong? I mean, my heart stopped beating fast. You scared to death, you know, and your life just do like this in front of you. It's scary.
These postal workers feel betrayed. First, health officials and their own managers kept saying they were safe, even after the Senate office building was shut down. Then, 6 days later, when they were told to go home, Jacob Carey says people were simply dismissed.
You didn't get cleaned off. And you don't know when something's going to come up, and you might get a sniff or two of these spores that's been lying dormant in your automobile, in your house, or what?
Do you think about anthrax every single day?
Of course.
Is everybody here?
Yeah. But you know what's in your body. You know what's in there. They're lying to you.
I didn't know how much I was thinking about anthrax until one day my wife just came out of nowhere and said, congratulations. And I said, for what? She said, you went the whole day without saying the word anthrax.
Terrell Worrell is a slight bookish man with small round glasses. He helped organize Brentwood Exposed, not just to seek comfort, but to seek justice. He still fumes that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention decided to close a majority white office building on Capitol Hill, but not to close Brentwood, where 97% of the employees were black.
A lot of us are not aware that the CDC was in charge of the Tuskegee study, in which 400 African-American men were left untreated for syphilis for 40 years. And these are the same people that stood over us and told us that we were safe.
These workers are determined to bring about change. They don't want to see the same distrusted managers when they return someday to a cleaned-up Brentwood building. James Harper, who spoke about the Brentwood family earlier, sees the challenge in biblical terms. The Brentwood survivors, he says, are like Gideon's army, the chosen few, fighting to protect their people.
We want to come back home. All the children of Brentwood want to get back together, but we want to make sure that home is safe before we go in there.
When that will be, no one can say. But Harper and many of these children of Brentwood did go back to the sidewalk in front of their old workplace on that chilly night last Tuesday for the prayer vigil.
Discouraged.
Dina smiles with relief as they arrive by twos and threes. It's getting dark. People huddle against the wind to stay warm. Many hold candles.
Thank you for coming. It's been a very, very long year.
The group even invited a senior manager from Brentwood, a small but significant step toward rebuilding shattered trust. Postal worker Thea Bradley alludes to that in a prayer.
Praying that we can come together as a community and as workers and managers on a whole, working together to restore unity. This will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
The postal workers share a few more hugs and shed a few more tears. They then wander off in the dark to their cars and resume their scattered lives. They know it will take a lot more time to cope with the deaths of their fallen colleagues, Joseph Kersine Jr. and Thomas Morris Jr. Richard Harris, NPR News, Washington.
Photographs of the letters sent to Senators Tom Daschle and Patrick Leahy are at npr.org.